You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, last week we taught on the uniqueness of Jesus last Sunday and talked about how he didn't really fit the mold of religious teachers and how that he was prophesied to come and how he split time right in two and he came to die. He didn't come to just teach us, lead us, guide us, and direct us. We didn't need a better leader, a better guide, a better example, a better teacher. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And so, you know, Buddha didn't come to save us from our sins, and Muhammad didn't die on the cross. These religious leaders, like Buddha, Confucius, and Muhammad, and different ones, they might have had, you know, a message per se, and maybe some truth. You know, as a Christian, it doesn't mean I believe that everything's wrong about Buddhism and everything's wrong about the Islamic faith. As a Christian, I accept and receive there's some moral truth and moral teaching in a lot of different religions. But as a Christian, I believe that the whole truth is only in Christianity. And it's not just about getting better teaching or better moral principles. As a Christian, I know that I was lost and needed to be saved, and I needed a Savior to save me from my sins. That's what separates me from other religions and you from other religions is we're not teaching a way, a truth, a life. We're teaching Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He didn't bring us a message. He is the message. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Amen. So he stands apart. He's set apart from all that. And no other religious leader ever claimed to be God, and Jesus did and got away with it. Changed the world, amen. He actually was God and is God. Muhammad would never said anything like that, nor Buddha, nor even Moses in Judaism, which Christianity is the fulfillment of Judaism, actually. And I want to kind of minister along those lines today, is that Jesus' whole life, his whole ministry, was a fulfillment of Scripture, a fulfillment of prophecy. That was one of the points I made last week, but I didn't expound the whole time on it, because, and I won't be able to give it all the time it needs to be given today. There's over 300 messianic prophecies concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That alone sets him apart. Buddha was never prophesied to come, neither was Muhammad. There were no scriptures saying he would show up. But Jesus had the credentials. Hello. He had an ID card that he could pull out. He had a driver's license. He had a social security number. He had it all. He had a Sam's card, JCPenney's. He had it all. Are you with me? He had a lot of validation. He had a lot of accreditation. He had a lot he could pull out and say, this is me. I'm from God. I'm the one. This is the one it talks about right here. This is me. Who are you? Well, go over here and read in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right there, Joshua, Judges. I'm right there. There I am in Ezekiel. I'm over there in Jeremiah. I'm in Isaiah. I'm over here in Hosea. That's me in Malachi he's talking about. Right there in the Psalms. That's me. I'm the one. It says, thus and so, and here I am. And he appealed to that over and over and over. Now, Muhammad never did that. He didn't say, here I am. I'm the one that said it would come. There's no scripture saying he would come. Buddha didn't have anything to pull up. And you know, when someone shows up, and you haven't met them, and you're wanting to know who they are, they need to pull out credentials. And if somebody really did send them, then they would know that when they sent them, they're going to have proof. Right. Well, Jesus came and, man, I'll tell you what, he had lots of proofs. a lot of credentials. Besides the miracle signs and wonders that God approved him by, he had the scripture that he brought, that he came and embodied. In other words, Jesus is the embodiment of Scripture. He is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is, in the words of John 1:14, the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. And he himself appealed to it. So we're going to talk about that this morning. And boy, that's some good stuff. There's a lot of implications there when you think about it. Jesus knew where the Bible talked about him. He knew what it said about him. And he appealed to it over and over. Now, the Bible didn't prophesy about us like it did Jesus. But the Bible does talk about us. And we ought to know where the Bible talks about us. And we ought to be appealing to it often. Yeah. And we ought to be standing up and claiming what the Bible says about us. Jesus did it. We ought to do it too. Amen. Now, obviously, we're not going to have the prophecies concerning our birth and where we lived and, you know, and what we did and how we died and all the specific detailed prophecies the Bible has about the coming of Jesus, which accredited Him and validated Him and showed us He was from God. But there are some things God says about us as Christians that, you know what, we ought to go check it out, and we ought to make claims like Jesus did. To the things that do pertain to us. John did it. John, you know, when John came, they asked him, they said, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. They said, well, are you that prophet? He said, no, I'm not that prophet. And they said, well, who are you that we may give account to those that sent us? The Pharisees came and asked him this. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as said the prophet Isaiah. So he knew in the Bible where it talked about him. That was his record. What's your record? Who are you? Good question. Amen. We ought to find out what God said. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's who I am. I am born again. I've accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, and I am going to heaven. I will not perish, but I have everlasting life because I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do, and I have what the Bible says I have.
Amen.
Luke. Did I tell you where to turn?
Nope.
Well, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 24. You remember the instance where Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He appeared to two disciples as they were going to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, the city of Emmaus. And they were all upset and disgruntled and, you know, and disheartened and dismayed and down because Jesus had died. And so they were discussing this as they walked along the road going to Emmaus. And they put their hopes in Him, and yet He died, and you know, thought He was the Messiah, and He died. And so Jesus appears to them. This is the most amazing story. They didn't know who He was because He held Himself, withheld His identity, as it were. And He just walked up to them while they're talking and starts talking with them. And He says this in the 25th verse, 24th chapter. Then He, Jesus, said to them, these two disciples, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Wow. Man, that could be an indictment on us. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I don't want to be that way. How about you? I don't want to be slow of heart and foolish. Well, the only way to solve that problem or the cure or the dilemma, the cure for the dilemma or the sickness or disease, as it were, of being slow of heart. You want to speed your heart up? You want to be wise instead of foolish? Start believing what the prophets said. Amen. So they were down and depressed, because you'll always get down and depressed when you don't believe what the prophets say. And they were dismayed and lost hope and didn't have any hope for the future, because you always get that way when you don't believe what the prophets say. Amen? He goes on and says, 26 verse, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Have you not read the Bible? Didn't it say this would happen? Didn't He do exactly what it said? And here, this is Him talking. 27 verse, and beginning at Moses, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Moses, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Wouldn't you like to have heard that message?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, maybe I hadn't heard that message, but I can go back and read those books. Amen. Because He used those scriptures to tell them about Himself.
Yeah.
I like that. See, when Jesus showed up, He could always tell you who He was. He had the scriptures to tell you exactly who He was. He was a fulfillment of Scripture. He was an embodiment of Scripture. He was the Word made flesh. In fact, He said, you know, one place He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill the law. He didn't come to do away with Scripture. He came to fulfill the Scripture.
Amen.
I love that. Over there in John, where I quoted the 14th verse, says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It goes on and says, we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. And grace. Thank God for the grace. By grace you're saved. Amen. By grace through faith you and I are saved. It is the grace of God that we're saved. And that came through Jesus Christ. And the truth is what makes you free. You'll know the truth, and truth will make you free, is what Jesus said. And Jesus is the truth of God. I love that. He is the Scripture fulfilled. He is the message. He was what they were all talking about. He was whom they all said would come. And he had all these scriptures to prove it. And that's what he did throughout his whole life. He would just quote scriptures and say this and that. And hallelujah. I mean, this is so different than anybody that you've ever heard of, any religious leader or founder of any religion. Why, he's so different than that. He doesn't even fall in that same category. He goes on after talking to them and reveals himself to them, you know. And later he reveals himself to them. They get to their house. And notice what it says in the 44th verse. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." There he is again, appealing to the scripture. He said, "I'm the one. I am the one that he talked about over there in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that he talked about over there in the prophets, that he talked about over there in the Psalms. I fulfilled that." Can you imagine what that, you know, it might have been a long walk. Can you imagine what that sermon entailed? When he expounded to them what the scripture said about himself. I imagine something like this. Don't you remember him saying he was going to be born of a virgin? That's what Jesus was, born of a virgin. He didn't reveal himself yet. He's still talking about the Christ in third person, walking with him. They don't know it's him. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 7:14, the virgin shall conceive and bear a child. That's what he did. Micah 5:2 said he was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and that's exactly where he was born. You know that. You know Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem. He was the man that they talked about. And all those children that were slaughtered in the days of Herod, it says that right there in Jeremiah. He did that. That happened in your lifetime and in his. The things that he did when he ministered, it said he would do exactly what he said he would do. The one that betrayed him said his old friend would betray him. Hello. One scripture after another, scripture after another, scripture after another scripture, he just began to tell them, "Why be dismayed? Why are you so downtrodden? Why is it you've lost hope? He is the one that was prophesied to come." And they got to their house and they said, "Man, wow." They're feeling a little lifted now, you know. Got a little hope now. And they're saying, "Hey, why don't you come in with us to the house?" And so, 42nd verse, let's back up a little bit. "So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said," the verse I just read, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with." Now he's not the Christ, this Jesus. All of a sudden now he's saying, "I'm him. While I was still with you, that all the things which must be fulfilled were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Wow, I mean, I just going on and on. "Thus it is written." Thus it is written. Wow. His whole life was identified with the scripture. The whole essence of who he was connected to what was written. He was the fulfillment of one scripture after another scripture after another scripture after another scripture. I'm thinking, if you want to be like Jesus, then your life should be identified with the Word. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You need to connect somewhere along there, find out what God says and make your connection. Well, I am what God says I am. I don't know what everybody else thinks about me. I don't know what I thought about me. I don't know what my mom and my daddy said. I hope they were good. But I am who God says I am. And my future is going to be like God says it's going to be.
That's right.
I'm going to live forever. When you're dead, you're dead. No, not me. I'm going to live on and on and on. I'm going to look at all this as an old tale one day. I've got eternal life. That's forever. Mm-hmm. And where I'm staying, my goodness, the streets aren't just paved with gold. The whole place is gold. The fence is made out of diamonds and jewels and amethysts and jades. It's nothing but jewelry, just jewels for 200 feet high and 1,500 miles long by another 1,500 miles by another 1,500 miles by another 1,500 miles. 6,000 miles of jewels. I don't know what you got wearing around your neck or on your hand, but 6,000 miles, that's the kind of fence we put up. That's not barbed wire. Are you with me? That's not T-post, you know. Everybody talks about how high T-posts are, man. They're $4 a piece. T-posts are just going up, man. They're ridiculous how high T-posts are now. Hey, this fence is jewels. That's what the Bible says about where we're going to live. I believe it. Woo!
Amen.
Are you with me? That's my future. Because that's what the Scripture says. Jesus knew who He was. He was the Messiah that was to come. In fact, turn over to John 5. Hallelujah. John, 5th chapter. I love this Scripture. I've quoted this often because I think we miss the point if we don't get to Jesus. If you don't get to Jesus, you've missed the whole point of the Bible. Because Jesus is the whole point of the Bible. This is like the map. Jesus is the real place. Maps are not the real place. Maps get you to the real place if you follow the instructions, but the maps are not the real place. This is like a shadow. This is not the thing cast in the shadow. Now, I'm not denigrating, I'm not belittling or demeaning or downgrading the Word of God and saying this sacrilegiously. I want you to understand that this in and of itself is not holy. In and of itself. They're just words on a page. That's all they are. They're just letters, and the letter killeth. It's the Spirit that gives life. Oh, I believe it's the Word of God, and stay with me. But it's only the Word of God to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. If you never get to Jesus, it's just a doctrine, it's just a teaching, just an idea, just a letter.
Amen.
Jesus is not going to say, you know, I never knew about you, or you never knew about me. He's going to say, I never knew you. And you can know all about Him and not know Him.
Right.
I've read biographies of people that I've never met, never will meet. Some of them have already died. I can tell you all about them, but I don't know them. This is more than just a biography.
That's right.
Are you with me? It's telling us, it's trying to get us to Him. And if I don't get to Him, whoo, man, I'm going to miss the whole point. I got to get to Jesus. And this is what Jesus was saying in John 5. Verse 39, He says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Woohoo! That's Jesus talking. Y'all see that's written in red. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they who testify of Me. But you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life. So the Scripture points us to Jesus. You go. I mean, Jesus had made no mistake about it. This testifies of Me. That's what He was saying. This is what Moses was talking about Me. Are you with me? Joshua talking about Samuel was talking about Me. The prophets, they were talking about the psalmist. They were talking about Me. This all concerns Me. I am this person. I am that person. I am the one He said would do this. I am the one He said would do this. Manna. I am the manna, the true manna that comes down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the true shepherd. Are you with me? These are all talking about Me. I am the water of life that if you drink of, you will never thirst again. Man, I love that. You know, in John 14:6, He said, He didn't say, I show you a way, I bring you a truth, I shine you a life, or light and life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. And He appealed to the Scriptures. Notice what it says in the 5th chapter, still there, in the 46th verse. If you believed Moses, you would believe Me, for he wrote about Me. I love this. We read across this and don't even catch it half the time. We read through here. Jesus appealing to the written Word. He's saying, that is talking about Me. Now, I have arrived. And we talk about Christmas. Christmas is when God visits us. Emmanuel, God with us. As Jeremiah says, it's God bent down and kissed the earth and we got caught in the middle of the smack. Amen. When Jesus showed up, He had all these credentials. When He showed up, He had all these prophecies beforehand. And when He showed up, He appealed to them and He pointed to them. He didn't just walk through earth and just said some things without connecting the dots. He connected the dots everywhere He went. He quoted the Scripture, says, that's Me. That's Me. That's Me. I'm this person. I'm that person. Hey, did Muhammad ever do anything like that? He didn't have anything to point to.
That's right.
Buddha had nothing to say. Hey, this was Me. There was no Scripture for him to appeal to. Jesus came along. We've been talking about Him for 4,000 years before He showed up. God had prophesied over and over. He'd come and told us great detail about his life. I mean, he was just one fulfillment after another. He was just one more scripture coming to pass. Every time he'd do something, he'd just point over there. Yeah, I said that would happen. That happened just like he said. I told you. God said Moses said that. You know, Jeremiah said this. Here I am. Hallelujah. Turn back to Luke 4, or Luke, the fourth chapter. Turn back to Luke. Hallelujah. See, we have to understand that this is very unique. This is not, I don't think we give it, that we hear a lot about tolerance in the media. We hear a lot about getting along with other people, other religions, and I'm all for getting along with people. I mean, goodness, we ought to be tolerant. You know, when Jesus said, love those that hate you, that still applies where we live. He didn't say, do what they do and believe what they believe. He said, love them. He said, be kind. You know, we should tolerate, sure, but to tolerate doesn't mean that I believe that I'm just one religion and they're another religion and I'm okay and they're okay. And as long as they believe what they believe and I believe what I believe, we'll all turn out okay. That's not tolerance. That's ignorance. Because all roads don't lead to the same place. You see, Dallas is a real place. And you know, you may think in your mind that you could, from here, just head east and get to Dallas, and that's fine if you believe that. You have the right to believe that, and I should tolerate that, but I don't agree with that. I think if you head east, you're most likely going to wind up in Tyler. But if you believe it strong enough that you get in your car and head east, go right ahead. I'm just sorry, your believing won't make it so. Because Dallas is a real place. It's not an ideal. And you only get there heading west. And God's a real person. I mean, He is the ultimate person of all personhood. The ultimate fact of all facthood. He's where all facts came from and all persons came from. He's always been around. He's real. He is something, so there are some things He's not. He is good, so He's not bad. He said there was a way to get to Him, so there must be a way not to get to Him. So if there's a way to get to Him, then all ways must not get there, just the way He said would get there, we'll get there. I tolerate people that don't believe that, but I don't believe they're right. Are you with me? And we need to understand that we as Christians have a very unique religion, if you call it that, and I don't like to call it that. We are people of the book. We've got thousands of years of history and prophecies behind what we believe. Specific, detailed prophecies about Jesus. Wow. That came to pass just like He said. Notice this, when Jesus came out of the temptation in the wilderness, and the Bible says He came in the power of the Spirit. He returned the power of the Spirit after He was tempted 40 days, overcame the devil with the Word, and He came in the power of the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came into a 16th verse, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Always like to say he was a churchgoer. You want to be like Jesus, get in church. Amen. He had a custom of doing it. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. Actually, he was reading from Isaiah 61. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. I love that. He went and looked specifically for what it said about him. He found it. Something we ought to do is look specifically and find what it says about us. And then he stood up and he read this. Now this is concerning his ministry. 18th verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. Somebody. Amen. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised or oppressed. Amen. 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 And he named off these five classes of people, the poor, you know, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. And, of course, He came to meet their need. That's what He came to do. Jesus didn't come to create need. He didn't come to make your life miserable. He didn't come to oppress you. He came to set you free from oppression. Yes. He didn't come to make you poor. He came to make you rich, as it were. In other words, prosper you, as it were. He met needs. He didn't leave the brokenhearted, brokenhearted. He didn't leave the oppressed, oppressed, blind, blind, captive, captive. Nor did He leave the poor, poor. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God we don't have to be poor no more. Amen. to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, 20th verse. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I mean, he starts his ministry, and what does he do? He reads the scripture, and he says, that's me. I am the man. I love that. I mean, that's how he starts out his ministry. He goes to the scripture, he validates what he's going to do. You know what? That's exactly what he did. From that day forward, that's what Jesus did. In direct fulfillment of the scripture. And he had the scripture to back it up. Oh, man, that's awesome stuff. You know, I'm going to read off some things to you because I know you don't, but if you're writing notes, you might want to write this down. I just kind of went through Matthew and went through over and over where it talked about this was done that it might be fulfilled. This is done to fulfill this. He did this because the prophet said this. And this sets Jesus totally apart in a whole different category than all the rest of these religious leaders. Now listen to this. If you choose to write this down, you want to turn it real fast, you're going to have those fingers going because I've got them all on one page here. But in Matthew, the first chapter, 22nd verse, concerning the virgin birth, and I even quoted this already, it says, 22nd, 23rd verse, listen to this. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. That's Isaiah 7:14. Now I'm reading right out of Matthew 1, 22 and 23, and he's appealing to Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin birth. Then in Matthew, the second chapter, concerning the place of his birth, the wise men, you know, went to Herod. When they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, Herod did, where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, this is what amazes me, these religious people actually knew where Christ was going to be born, and yet they did not accept him. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Micah 5:2 is where that is. And so they actually told not only that he was born of a virgin, but here they're telling us exactly where he's going to be born because they have a record. They know when he comes, this is what's going to happen. This is where he's going to be born. Then they flee after Jesus is born. And you know all the nativity scenes where you have the wise men with the gifts or the kings. We three kings. We three kings of Orient are. Listen, don't get your theology from the Christmas songs, okay, because they're not always right. Nor the Christmas cards. And I get cards and I send cards, so don't jump on my case. I believe in celebrating Christmas. I think it's a wonderful time of year to stand up and let people know Jesus was born. I think we ought to get in on it, especially as Christians. But I realize that the wise men, the magi, not the kings, there are no kings, it doesn't say kings. I realize they came to Jesus long after he was born, and he was already in a house at that time. The shepherds came and visited him when he was born in that manger. Y'all remember that? So they weren't together. So all the cows over here moving and the lambs, and all that, and all the shepherds, and all the, they weren't all together, although that's the way we have our nativity scene. I put them up too. I think it's just wonderful. Go ahead and send me all the cards you want to with them on there. That won't bother me one bit. I do happen to know, because I believe the Bible, not Christmas cards. I believe that they came later. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Well, anyway, after they came, God warned Joseph in a dream that Herod was not wanting to worship them at all. In fact, he told the wise men when he told them where he was, you go and find the child and come back and tell me so I may come and worship him. Well, he wanted to kill him is what he wanted to do. And so they were warned, you know, in a dream not to go back the same way they came. And then Joseph and Mary were warned and they went into Egypt, which is interesting. A little thing like going into Egypt. Matthew, the second chapter, the 14th verse, says, when he arose, he took the young child, Joseph, and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. Hosea 11, verse 1. Now you think about this. How detailed and how specific these prophecies are. Where he's born, where he's going to go. Now he can't control this. You say, well, he just tried to fulfill all those himself. Oh yeah, well you pick out where you're going to be born. All right, that's a good one. I mean, there's some things you just cannot fulfill by yourself. And yet he did this time and time again. You know, I thought it significant, too. I read this the other day, and I might have said it before, too. But, you know, it says the wise men departed another way after they went to see Jesus. I love that. There's such a spiritual law or rule there. You will always leave differently than you came when you come to Jesus. You'll always depart another way. If you come to worship Him, that is. If you come with the right heart, you'll never leave the way you came, ever. And so they did. They departed another way. Well, anyway, that was the 2 chapter, 14th verse. In the 16th verse is the story of how Herod went out and killed all those children, slaughtered the innocents. Those children 2 years old and under, because he wanted to make sure this king was dead. And so he slaughtered all these children. Horrendous thing that took place. And it says in the 17th verse of the 2nd chapter of Matthew, then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. That was Jeremiah 31:15. Man, Jesus is not even 2 years old yet. Look at all these scriptures he's fulfilled. Look at all these prophecies that are coming to pass and fulfilled, just one right after another. And by the way, I didn't pick them all. I just went through here. Not even all the ones in Matthew. I just picked, you know, several of them, most of them, but I left out several. The 4th chapter of Matthew, the 13th through the 16th verse, talks about how Jesus left Nazareth and went into Capernaum and started his ministry there. And he ministered in, you know, in the cities of Capernaum there, and the streets of Capernaum and that area. And it says, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 tells us that. Man, you got his whole agenda laid out in the Scripture before he ever hit the earth. Isn't that amazing? Y'all get anything out of this?
Yes.
Matthew 8:16. I know I'm giving you a little history lesson here and a biblical lesson, but man, this will do nothing but intensify and solidify your faith. This is beyond the natural. This is not possible in the natural. This could not just have happenstance. Are you with me? These are not coincidences. These are way too detailed. We're serving the one true living God.
Yes.
When we accepted Jesus, we accepted the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, the Savior of the world, the one that was prophesied to come, who had countless prophecies and details about his life already recorded, and he came and he fulfilled them one by one, step by step. You have every right to believe.
Yes.
There are reasons to believe. Amen? Matthew 8:16, when he went out and began to heal the sick and raise the dead and do all those things, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out spirits with the word. He healed the sick. 17th verse of the 8th chapter of Matthew says, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Isaiah 53, verse 4. The 13th chapter of Matthew, it says, when he spoke in parables, you know, Jesus continually would speak in parables. You know, some 38 parables that Jesus used in his teaching. Well, that didn't just happen. That was the fulfillment of Scripture also. It says in Matthew 13:35, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Psalm 78, verse 2. Now we're down to the way he taught. Not just what he taught, but how he taught. And what he did in the miracles and the signs and wonders. And we read over there in Luke, the 4th chapter, he started his ministry by appealing to and quoting and reading Isaiah the 61st chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3. In Matthew 21, when he came into Jerusalem on a donkey, on the foal of a donkey, the Bible says. It says, all this was done, Matthew 21, verse 4 through 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, sound familiar? All this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto you, meek, and sitting upon a donkey, and on the colt or the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Came in just like that. Man, here's one. I got a couple more I'm going to give you, and we'll let you go. In Matthew 27 through 6 through verse 10, it talks about how Judas Iscariot came and betrayed Jesus. And after he did that, he felt remorse about it. They gave him 30 pieces of silver for betraying him. That was prophesied, incidentally. And I'm not reading that scripture, but I mean, it says his own friend would betray him. And that's exactly what it was. It was his own friend. Not an enemy, but his own friend betrayed him. And so he came back with remorse and tried to give the money back to the priest. And they said, oh, we can't take that. That's blood money. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. Tell you what we'll do. We'll buy Potter's Fields, a place where they buried people, unknown people, didn't have a place to bury anybody. So the priest would, they had a place where they did that, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and bought a place called the Potter's Field. Now, all that was prophesied. They were fulfilling Scripture when they did that. In fact, Matthew even says that, Matthew 27, 6 through 10, says, and the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put these pieces of silver in the treasury because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and they bought within the Potter's Field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver. Now we're quoting Jeremiah. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and they gave them for the Potter's Field as the Lord appointed me. That's Zechariah 11, 12 and Jeremiah 27, 10. We're talking hundreds of years before it happened, down to the detail of what the money was and what it was bought for. Lastly, if that be a word, 27th chapter. This is where they parted his clothes. You remember where they, before they crucified, they took his garments off and they actually cast lots for it instead of ripping it all to pieces because it was a costly garment. 27 chapter 35th verse of Matthew. And bear in mind, I'm just reading out of Matthew. And I'm skipping some of the things it said in there. So all this that I've just talked about, there's two pages I typed up here, a fulfillment of the virgin birth, the place of his birth, the journey into Egypt, the murder of those little children, his stay in Capernaum, his healing ministry, his use of parables, riding in Jerusalem on a donkey, on a baby donkey, him being sold for 30 pieces of silver, and what they did with it when they got it back. And here, his garments or his clothes. Matthew 27, 35 says, they crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my clothes did they cast lots. That's exactly what it says in Psalms 22, verse 18. Hey, there are actually almost 300 more prophecies, well, over 300 more prophecies that I haven't read you. Man, that's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's our Jesus. This Jesus was prophesied to come. This Jesus who came and claimed to be the Son of God and was, who claimed to be God and was, this one who came and shed his blood for your sins and for mine and did, and said he'd rise again, and he did rise again, according to the Scriptures. That's actually what Paul says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He said, I preach to you this gospel, that Jesus came, he died, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. See, Paul's even talking that way. Peter talked that way. Luke talked that way. They would talk about Jesus and they'd say, according to the Scriptures, just like the Scriptures said, to fulfill what was written. We have reason to believe in this Jesus. Amen? Well, and if you've already accepted him, you don't even need to hear all that. You already know in your heart that it's right. He's already changed your heart. If you have not accepted Him, you have not received Him, my question is, why are you so foolish and slow of heart? Are you with me? I don't say it in a mean way. I say that with compassion, wanting you to come to Him. The world needs to receive and accept this Savior. It's not a lack of evidence that keeps them from doing that. There's plenty of evidence, amen, that Jesus was the one to come. Hallelujah.